I have no reason to be laughing,
but it's the fact that I know that I shouldn't be. Hilarious? That's the reason why I have to laugh.
Hey, welcome to Whatever Town. Ryan has just finished making some sort of witch's brew of a reportedly health drink, and Tim and I are sipping on some classic waters. This isn't the information people want to know.
It is. It's great.
Okay.
A witch's brew, though.
With kefir.
Explain kefir, Ryan. What you just made.
Okay, guys. Here's the thing. I don't know what it is. I don't know what kefir is. I barely know what kombucha is. And I'm understanding that I'm that millennial who does healthy things and doesn't know why. However, we've been getting better at it. I know a little bit about kombucha. It's for your gut health. I also know what your gut is. Mm-hmm. It's talking about your digestive system as a whole.
And kefir is from 24.
What? The show?
Yeah.
What kefir about Sutherland?
That's why that came up when I Googled it.
That's.
I kept bringing that. That was the suggested thing, and I kept. You know when you start typing into Google,
yep.
And then it does the suggested thing, but it pastes it in there, so you're hitting enter because you're expecting something
I
else,
hate,
and then
I
it does
that.
The next thing, and I'm always searching something wrong.
Why is it trying to assume so that I want to feel like if I stop typing, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done typing, and then it fills in like an extra word that changes your search completely.
Mm-hmm. If I want one of those searches, I'll click on them
exactly
separately. Anyway, so this is not Kiefer Sutherland, but. Kefir was the witch's brew that I was concocting. Mm. So I know nothing about it. Sarah brought it home from her parents' place, and I have now Googled it because I want to seem like I know what I'm talking about. It's a fermented milk drink. Oh, well, that sounds gross.
Yikes. This sounds like
grains.
It's coming right off the top of your head.
It's like kefir grains, a yeast/bacterial fermentation starter. So it's a starter, similar to how like a SCOBY is like a bacterial starter in kombucha.
SCOBY.
That's what you call that, like, mushroom
right.
thing.
Yeah.
It, like, ferments with whatever type of milk. So we're using, like, an alternative milk.
Almond milk. Is it almond milk?
Cashew, my dude. Almond is very...
Oh, cashew milk has got to be better, though. Cashews are sweeter than almonds.
Cashew milk is unreal. Hmm. It's the best substitute milk.
Yeah.
Sorry to all my followers who... The last of you that thought I was done talking about my stupid health regimen has now also checked out.
I don't know if I'm much further to understanding.
Okay, I'll keep going. Come back. What don't you understand? Anything?
No, I think I do understand.
Do you actually?
I just was
not?
Doing it for the podcast. Oh. It was kind of supposed to be like a joke.
I was so ready to help you understand.
I was just trying to play the fool.
That's all right.
So
I forgive you.
Kefir
just like aids in your gut health.
Okay.
So it's supposed to help you digest food better, help you absorb nutrients from food. Help you
solve
stay.
Your problems within 24 hours.
Oh, well.
24 hours.
Or minutes?
Say that. No, it was 24 hours. It was
okay.
a day.
Right.
I didn't even
Wait,
watch the
whoa,
show
whoa,
and
whoa,
I knew
whoa,
that.
Whoa. But the show runs for 24 minutes,
yeah.
isn't it?
Correct.
I don't know.
I never watched it.
I didn't either. My dad did.
You never watched it either?
Whose Line Is It Anyway? Ended. It would just be on and then.
Did you watch it, John?
Did they ever figure out whose line it was anyway?
No, I don't think so. That's why they're starting it up again.
Oh, they're still
what?
Trying to figure it out.
They're coming back?
It's back. It's been back already.
It's been back.
Yeah.
Wait, it's like currently active?
It's yeah, currently back.
So.
What is it with these like ingredients in healthy drinks that are just weird words? Like
kombucha,
SCOBY, and kefir?
My grandma,
I don't want to like consume any of that.
My grandma, we keep trying to get her to have some because she has some stomach stuff. And
yeah.
Or my grandpa does actually. So we keep giving like wanting her to have it and she always talks about it. But she, I tell her every single time what it is actually called. And she every time calls it babushka. And it's like every time she's like, oh, I tried some of that babushka. And I'm like, grandma, it's kombucha. Kombushka. See, I don't even know what it's called. Grandma's getting me all confused. I'll turn around.
Actually, you're mentioning fermented milk. When I was in Thailand, we went on this bus and they gave us a bottle, like a little bottle of something, and everybody thought it was always it's all milk, and then a little pastry in a bag. But it was dark, like it was at night. We were driving through the night, and I opened it up, and it tasted really, really bad. Then I look at it; it just says fermented milk.
Oh.
It was like green. And then I was like, okay, not ideal. Okay. And then I open up my little pastry. Uh-huh. I bite into it. Beans inside. Beans.
Oh, Sarah would love that, which means nobody else probably would.
So that was my story about That's being horrible. In a bus in Thailand.
That's the worst. Fermented milk and bean pastries.
Everybody got different milk. The person next to me, strawberry milk.
Ooh.
And then there was chocolate milk as well.
Gee. Did everyone get bean stuff, though?
I think so.
How is that a pastry?
I don't know if everybody got beans in it, but it was all like more of a savory pastry.
Beans is weird in pastries. Sorry about
Super
that.
Super weird.
And fermented milk.
Yeah.
Did you have any water, or did that just linger in your mouth?
I probably had some just anyways, like with me.
Hopefully.
But I don't know. I'm Tim, by the way.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm John. And this is Whatever Town. It's currently today, the 13th of February. It's almost Valentine's Day. Hope you guys are ready because it's tomorrow.
It's not. Oh, it is.
It's today. It's the 13th of February. It's absolutely the 13th of February. Come on. Feels like it was only the big game just yesterday, but it's
the biggest of bowls.
Absolutely the 13th of February.
The superest of
games. Folks ready for Valentine's Day or what?
Sarah and I always try to do stuff after.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You always try and do stuff after Valentine's Day?
Yeah. You try and do stuff after or
doing stuff
you,
on the day is like wicked. Like it's so busy everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this was a real
that was
hot
super
take.
Super clear, wasn't it?
The Bible doesn't say anything about Valentine's.
It's wicked, guys.
Valentine's.
Cut it out.
Yeah, it is actually hard if you don't make, I don't know, where you make reservations in Winkler. You know, it's such a, it seems like a kind of a lame town to do anything.
It is.
Like at all.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from going to Whitecap.
Yeah.
That's a daily thing though, not on Valentine's.
Thanks, guys.
If you go to Whitecap one time a month, what are you doing even?
So true.
What is there to even do on a date in this town?
Watch a movie.
Like, I don't know. Before marriage? I don't know. Like,
I've never had a marriage Valentine's Day.
No, not even Valentine's Day, just
in general.
Any date.
Any
date. Period.
Date,
yeah, period.
I don't know.
It's tough in Winkler. It's not. Mm-hmm. There's really nothing to do. Sarah and I think that often. It's like, mm-hmm, where do we go? Like
especially in winter?
Yeah. It's like, what do we go do? Like, sure, go for a walk in summer. That's great.
That's great.
It's, yeah, awesome.
Bike being, ride, whatever.
Yeah, bike ride. Oh, yeah, super true. But if we want to do something, we have to stay home. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, we could go have coffee somewhere, yep, but I spend all of my time at that place.
Yep.
So it's like, it just turns into work right away.
Yep.
So that's like a genuine... There's no answer for that. That's a real thing. It's go to Winnipeg or watch a movie in your house.
Yep.
There's literally, is there anything else to do?
Like you could go watch a movie, but...
You go to the theater. That's fine. It's not the worst.
It feels like just garbage in there.
Well, it is garbage in there.
You sit on a...
Broken seat,
a
probably.
A seat that doesn't flip back up. And it's like, it feels grimy.
It is.
And I don't know. It's bad.
It's a real thing. It's a real dilemma. And you can't just have one location that pops up that just solves that. You need, yeah, options, and there just aren't options.
Like, there's no... You can't even hang out at a mall. I don't know if I would do that anyways, but that's what people do.
Might
I'm
be
sure.
Nice to go, like, shopping in the evening once in,
yeah,
a while or something.
But you could get that all covered in, like, an hour.
On Amazon.com.
On Amazon.
Right. From your house.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll come.
But I think the thing with dates is, like, we end up spending a lot more time with other people. Less one-on-one dates. If we're having a one-on-one date, we're probably staying home.
Yeah.
And hanging out together, which,
yeah,
is great.
Mm-hmm.
Watching a movie or playing games or just hanging out. But we just, when there's nothing to do, I think you appreciate people more. Maybe that's not true. I haven't lived without it. But I think it forces you to just be like, really enjoy what you have and appreciate people in a bigger way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's wrong. But I don't know. It's tough, John.
Yeah.
But don't move away because of that. Okay.
If anything, move here.
Yeah.
Move to Winkler.
We need more people to co-date.
For real. I looked at you and I said that. And I looked in and I saw that in your eyes. You thought, well,
this advice
what?
Wasn't for me.
Maybe, yeah, I'll move away.
I'm
we all know
always
this is,
dating.
No. This is for you. And for all of us. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that you're thinking, oh, I'll just maybe move away to a place where they have those things.
I need to move to a nice city with things like dates.
here's something, ooh, John. What would be something that would for you mm-hmm. would be something that would make a nice date in Winkler if it could happen that well, doesn't currently exist here. Do you think there's something that you would think of?
A comedy club?
Does it exist in Winnipeg?
What's so bad about that?
It just seems like that wouldn't be something that would thrive in this type of town.
But, well, you asked a thing that's
right.
not here.
You're right.
Asks John for an opinion, immediately laughs in his face.
It's hard to imagine anything that's not here already existing in Winkler and have it, like,
work at all.
Sustain itself. Like, true. People would.
Winkler's hit quote. Peak Winkler.
Yeah. How do you get out of that?
More people.
A concert venue.
A real one.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. But who mm-hmm. the heck would come to Winkler when you can just go to Winnipeg? It's hard enough to get people
Petra
to Winnipeg.
Petra came one time.
Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. That was.
Hey, wait a second. Who was at Harvest Festival this year?
The remnants of Hawk Nelson.
Very
that was this last
band.
Year?
Yeah.
Jeez.
They're just coming into their own, though. Heard that like, in the paper.
Oh, yeah. They're an up-and-coming band that's been out since I was in grade 7.
And has two best-of albums.
Jeez.
So, I don't know. I want to end this in a positive way as I look over at you and want to breathe hope into your future in this category.
That's why we're starting the Whatever Town dating show.
Why? A show? Is
yeah.
that going to help?
Blind dating. You'll just recognize the person's voice and you'll be like, oh, I know you because it's Winkler.
Already thinking of the logistics of how you do a blind dating show. You'd record it, right? Like you just have like a divider in the middle.
A blind dating show, you hardly need visuals. And like, I mean, you want to see what they look like, I guess, but it's just, they don't even see each other.
It doesn't
other.
Matter what they look like, Tim.
I know, but that's why it's a show. So it's like, would this person even be interested in this other person? And then they talk. I don't even know how those shows work, actually.
A voice-based dating show.
Hmm.
Does it exist? Is that a thing?
We'll make it.
I don't know if I have a good enough voice for it.
What do you mean?
You don't need a good... You
have a good voice.
Yeah, you have a great voice.
That was not enough for compliments.
Tim
there.
Hit you hard. That was great. I don't know if I have a good enough voice for that. You don't need a good voice for that.
No, I don't know why.
Thank you, Tim.
I don't know why you would not. Well, you think you would need like a great like I radio know. Voice or something
I
for
understand.
That because you wouldn't be the person that unless you would be the person that's talking.
Oh, I'm
to
the them. I'm the person.
It's but you're the host is also
I was
the
not
person
even
that's
really trying to veil this at all.
Well, no.
Let's yes. talk about this, John. Mm-hmm. Tell us three things that you're into.
The Beach Boys.
Hmm.
Probably this whole dating show thing is just gonna get cut. It was a good idea, though. We should think about it for later.
Yeah.
Season 2.
Once we've jumped the shark. Do you guys familiar with
that
term?
Would be jumping the shark.
That would be jumping the shark. Well,
that would be it. That would be the moment.
Yeah.
So I spent the day with two of my managers building up like a full training manual for my staff at Whitecap, or for new staff and all of my staff to go through. So that was crazy. That was like 8 hours of no stops and thinking. It was just, it was intense. But figured out a ton of stuff, and I'm really excited for that. So get ready to get some real consistent, high-qual brews at Whitecap.
Yeah.
Across the boards. So that was fun. Really enjoyed working on that. That's what's new in my world.
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tim? You played some guitar this weekend, Tim.
I played guitar.
You crushed it.
My fingers are always, like, I don't play guitar for a while, and then I play it a lot, and then my fingers hurt.
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm playing, I think about it hurting.
Yeah.
It's great. Love it.
Sometimes the guitar shreds me.
Oh.
The news! So a couple of new games coming to iOS or iOS. Fez, which is an old Phil Fish game.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
Super good
one
game.
One of my favorites.
I never finished it, but it was a super pleasant game to play.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Phil Fish is, you can watch the indie game movie on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a great documentary.
Yeah. I've seen it. I'll have to check it out.
He's comes off as a bit of a crazy person, but seems like everybody in that is a little bit.
Yep.
Might have to be a
an indie game developer.
Yeah.
But it's a great game, and I always said it was kind of like, would be a perfect fit for iOS, like to play on an iPad or something.
Yeah, I never thought about that. But on an iPad for
like
sure.
Like Monument Valley, which is one of my favorite iOS games. Mm-hmm. I think must have been partially inspired by it.
Yeah. Wait, it's out now?
Yeah, it's out now.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Looking at it right now.
Jeez, what the heck?
It's $7 though.
That's okay. So, here's my thing about like app prices. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, video game prices.
Video game and just apps in general. People are so hesitant to buy a $1 app and like somehow view it as being like a waste. I mean, $7, sure, that's a bigger chunk than $1. But just think about all of the things that you buy for $1. And like, depending on the app, you might get so much use out of it that might help you. Like most apps are like, they just help you do daily things. Like they're they help with mundane tasks. But like, if you compare that to buying like a pack of gum, I don't know. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
Cause you'll just buy a pack of gum. No problem. Just stick that in with all your other groceries. But like an app, it's like $1.
That's like, fair. That's very fair.
Well, the whole like app marketplace is just, everybody was racing to be like the free games, right?
Yeah.
Because that would put you at the top of the list.
Yep.
And then kind of just cannibalized itself. So it's
because now
probably now hard for
like
indie developers to put out games.
And actually, and not have to make them free, but add a bunch of content that you pay for, like in-app purchases, so that you, I don't know, like there's no limit on those. Like you can buy as many whatever coins or whatever to speed up your timers, because that's what iOS, like just phone games are now. It's like you set timers to things and it takes like 3 hours, and then the next time you do it takes 6 hours. So like you're up to like 2 days before you have to, you know, something is completed, or you buy tickets that allow you to finish it instantly.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's no limit. So you can put in as much money. Like there's options in some games where you can put in like over $100. Like there's an option for like pay $100, you get this many things.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And there's no doubt in my mind that people are doing that frequently.
Wow. Must be.
Yeah, I have I don't doubt it for 1 second. Yeah.
But games like Monument Valley, they were about the same price as Fez. About like $7 or something.
Yeah.
And definitely worth it.
So worth it for sure. And there's like just some extra levels and stuff that you can buy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they do.
There's like an expansion.
Yeah, expansion. There you go.
That like added a whole new story and stuff.
Yeah. But Fez, for sure, I think I'm very interested in that.
Here's the top review of this game on iOS.
Fez?
From Deadlocks Gamer.
Mm-hmm.
5 stars. I wanted to play so bad. Review is, I wanted to play that game and it's on iOS. Heckle yeah.
Heckle yeah.
Heckle. H-E-C-K-L-E.
That's got to be autocorrect.
Speaking of iOS games, it seems like Mario Kart is coming
to
iOS.
What,
I don't know how
what?
To feel about that.
I'll take it.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fine. Like, I understand that I think Nintendo's view on phone games is like getting people into wanting to play the actual games. Mm-hmm. So it's never like a full experience. Like, Super Mario Run was obviously not a way you would play Mario normally.
It wasn't a replacement.
No, not at all. No. And then Animal Crossing came out, which is like, it's a similar idea, but...
Did you play that one?
I played that. Crystal and I played it for a while.
Oh, yeah?
For probably a solid month, we were both like pretty into it. It was like, it was fun, but...
The tutorial lasted too long. I didn't make it out.
It was so long.
Like the guided portion of it. I didn't make it out.
It was so long. Too long for a phone game if they want people to actually play it. But there's a lot of things to explain.
Did.
Oh, yeah.
They probably want people to actually play it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
But Super Mario Run was good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Yeah. I didn't actually buy it.
I didn't either. Played it up until
I did.
Okay. I guess I'll eat my words a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game was $13.
Yeah.
I think
it's different than one. Your statement still stands.
But you'll throw down $13 on a pack of gum any day.
Pack of...
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, the idea is to get people to play these so they're like, oh, I wonder what the full game is. So they buy a console and they buy the game for $80 or something. But
$80.
Pucks. $80. Dollars. But here's a crazy fact. There's a company called... What do they call it even? Square Enix? They make... You've heard of Final Fantasy games.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a Final Fantasy game for mobile phones. And with in-app purchases, they're making more money off of that than their like flagship PS4 games.
Oh, wow.
So
that's crazy.
That's wild.
That blows my mind.
So now it's like a no-brainer if you're a game developer to come up with some game to just get cash.
Yeah.
Like, especially Nintendo stuff, like people buy Nintendo products to play Nintendo games. So if they can play them on their phone, people are going to
get Because then you get can get money. People who aren't even buying Nintendo like consoles. Yeah.
And now there's, I guess this, the idea is this is a way to get them to buy Nintendo consoles.
Dang. Or just to make money off of them, even if they don't.
So true.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy. Cause I don't have a Nintendo console.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't buy Super Mario Run, but
right.
I could have,
you could have. Yeah, we'll see how Mario Kart is on mobile.
It could be fun.
It could be fun. I just don't know how they could make it
as good.
I think they may be able to make it as good, but I don't know how they'll make it in a way that it's a mobile game.
Mm.
Whereas, like, how do you pay for extra, what, races? Like, if you lose a race, you have, like, 5 free races a day or something like
Probably
that? I don't
more
know.
More tracks, right?
You What's think? That?
More tracks?
Maybe more tracks.
Or maybe it's just you pay up front. Or it could be,
maybe
like...
It is.
Could be like Super Mario Run, where you get like the first, like with Super Mario Run, you got like the first 3 levels for free.
Yeah.
And then you paid for
That's
the full
right.
game.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll give you like, you can play as one character in one cart on
right.
one track or something.
So a while back, we talked about Claims of Gold by Keymaster Games not being backed on Kickstarter. And now they're back.
They're back.
I mean, I guess. Now the Kickstarter will have launched already because it's the 13th of February
That's
currently.
That's what it is right
today.
Now today.
So it will the Kickstarter launches last week.
Yeah, that's right.
The 6th of February.
They've been making so much money already.
Heck yeah. So this game, I wasn't totally into Claims of Gold. I knew it would be a good game, but I didn't back it. I don't know exactly why.
I don't know why I didn't either. I feel
you just don't believe in them.
Maybe.
Oh my so word. Harsh.
I think it's just, I want, it looked good, but it wasn't like, it didn't capture me like Camp Your Creatures did.
Mm-hmm.
That just, I was sold on,
yeah.
Same with Control, they made Control as well. Camp Your Creatures game came out last year. It just looks so good. And if it didn't play well, I didn't care because it looked really good, but it plays really well. And I enjoy playing it like at any point, any time. Like it's just really good. Easy to get into, easy to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like people seem to grasp it. And anybody that I played it with really loves it. I feel like Space Park is going to be another one of those. Another just a hit, but even if it's not, I don't fully know how it's played. They haven't released any videos explaining it. I mean,
they
probably have.
Any.
It's on Kickstarter now.
That gets real tricky.
And we watched that video so many times.
We know exactly how it's played, but we'll let you go on the Kickstarter and check it out.
Oh wow, well played.
But it just looks so good. So it's a day one back for me for sure. Mm-hmm. Like come.
It was a day one.
It was a day one. I backed it.
On day one, you did.
It's currently backed. So it's probably around $30,000 right now.
Yeah.
You imagine?
Yes, I can.
Can you imagine if it is now?
Just because he hasn't checked in the past 20 minutes. That's right.
So, yeah. Have you guys seen it at all?
Oh, I looked at. You kept showing me stuff about it, and then I got psyched out. Psyched up. Even.
Yeah.
Not even out, just up. And then I checked out all the stuff they have on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just
the artwork's been
so
the
nice.
The artwork was rolling in.
Yeah.
About a week ago, the artwork had rolled in.
Yeah.
It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's just another good one to just have on the shelf.
Yeah. They work with good illustrators for the
games. Oh, they do. I always, whenever I see who illustrated, I always thought it was the same person that did Camper Creatures, but it wasn't.
Really? It looks similar.
It looks like
it's a similar feel.
Idea.
Yeah.
Like I feel like this is more, I don't really know what I mean by this, but like this is kind of more of who was buying Camp Your Creatures as opposed to what Claims of Gold was.
I feel like that's right.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the artwork. It's like a similar, like it's bright and it's like just like eye catching. Mm-hmm. Claims of Gold was more neutral colors and it looked more like a traditional board game almost. I don't know.
I wonder how much the branding played into it not being successful on Kickstarter. I'd be curious.
I
don't think you could ever like quantify that.
And just
that's the right word.
The scale of the game too.
Like, right. That definitely
was
played
a
into
game
it.
With
it was
like a board
it was
and
more
everything.
Like, yeah, a board. Exactly.
Not but just still, cards.
I just wonder.
Actually, I don't know.
It seems like this is just simpler than Claims of Gold already. So
looks beautiful. I'm in. Yeah. I have been in.
We've backed it.
We're in. Check it out.
Check it out.
Let's get it going.
You guys remember Google Glass?
Yeah.
Remember how that bombed hardcore? Because everyone was like, this is a huge invasion of privacy. People are filming me and recording my conversations.
Was that the issue?
It was a huge issue. And then like a bunch of businesses started like creating like Google Glass free zones where you weren't allowed to use Google
Glass.
It blew up like crazy because people were like, getting creeped out because these guys are like, how do you know if this guy's filming me this whole time I'm just sitting here or not? Or recording our conversation the whole time.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest issue with it.
And they didn't really get the product to a point where they could actually have people using it.
Yeah. It's true.
So
yeah, I didn't.
The fears were never alleviated, I guess.
Yeah.
But now Intel just came out with their own line of, or their own smart glasses.
And
their own pair of smart glasses, and they're called Vaunt. V-A-U-N-T.
Vaunt.
And they look like regular glasses. Like, they look normal. That's really nice. Mm-hmm. But essentially, like, Google Glass had, like, video, it had speakers, it had cameras, it had a whole bunch of random stuff happening. So nothing that's going to get them, like, in trouble right away, obviously.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, it doesn't have all the weird stuff that kind of, like, was it actually necessary for glasses, which was kind of the issue. Basically what it is, it's like a heads-up display.
Oh.
So how it works is it uses a technology called VCSEL, V-S-C-E-L, which is vertical cavity surface emitting laser.
Wow.
So what it's doing is in the side, pretty sure those are called glasses arms.
I should know this.
You worked at a place.
Glasses shop.
It's got a little laser in there. And what it does is so it's beside your eye, but it shoots out into the glass, which has like a holographic grating embedded in the lens, and that reflects it right onto the back of your eye.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you're not looking to the right spot, like if you're looking down, you can see it. And it's like just out, like as if it's painted onto a wall or whatever you're looking at. But if you look away from that spot, it's gone. You don't see it.
Wow.
Yeah. So because it's literally projecting it onto the back of your eye when you look in the right spot. Hmm. So then you look away and it's gone. But then if you're looking for it, it's always there. But at the same time, it's not always ever there.
That's so crazy.
I think it might be great.
Yeah.
And so the idea was like they're trying to create a learning AI to be involved, like built into it so that it doesn't, like the guy in the video said, is this just going to have my Twitter feed constantly scrolling across my eyes? Because that's going to be the worst.
Right.
But they want it to be more like, okay, you got out of your car. You're going to a restaurant. Here's the like directions to this restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's just
an ad for another restaurant.
Yes, exactly. These guys paid more.
Check out McDonald's.
I watched the video on Verge.com. They had a little ad about, or a little write-up about it. It said the most important parts of the Intel's new Vaunt smart glasses are the pieces that were left out. There's no camera to creep people out, no buttons to push, no gesture areas to swipe, no glowing LCD screens, no weird arm floating in front of the lens, no speaker, no microphones, just look like glasses.
Yeah.
And so I think that actually has the potential. It's just a prototype at this point.
Right.
But if you're going to do anything with smart glasses, it seems like this has the most potential.
Yeah.
So
like I'm just looking at a picture. It doesn't look like...
weird. It's just looks normal. Weird. And nobody would ever see anything differently. It's just you can look and have information that you want.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And it just looks normal.
Would it be like the equivalent of having like a smart watch where like, I mean, you obviously can get notifications on there. Probably you can probably have it so that the time is just frequently on there.
Yeah.
It seems really cool. I'm just thinking of like what you would use it for daily.
Right. Directions would be huge. If you lived in a big city,
yeah,
it'd be super nice. You'd have to read directions right in front of your eyes all the time.
Right.
And not in a weird, obtrusive way, just in a normal, it's like printed onto the back of your eye.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, just in a normal way.
Yeah.
Just normal way. Normally how printed onto the back of your eye.
Well, think about when you look at stuff, everything's printed onto the back of your eye. So you see stuff.
It's the high-tech version of the like fake eyes on your eyelids so you can go to sleep in a vintage comic.
Right. So without any of those benefits at all. So anyways, keep your eyes peeled.
Whoa.
For that.
That's cool. But I wonder what like battery life cost of how much they cost.
Yeah. Well, because it's a prototype. It's
probably expensive right now.
Oh, for sure. It's not even a thing yet.
This seems way more like it could be. I think Google Glass seemed too much like a future thing you would see in a TV show.
Yeah.
Like it looked bizarre just to have one on. Like it didn't serve any other purpose other than do pretty much what this is doing.
Right.
And are these prescription glasses?
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
Like regular glasses just in the corner. You'd have some information.
That seems good.
Like, I think it's doing exactly as much as it should. you can like swipe away notifications by looking at if there's a notification you don't want, and you like can tilt your head and like look to the left, and it'll like swipe it to the side.
Wow.
So just like you're not like waving your hand in front of your face or something.
Is that
stupid.
How it was with Google?
I think they had like gesture notifications.
So you're just like waving your arms at no, not
smack
that
someone.
No.
Yeah. Someone waves at you. So anyways, it seems like they've done a good job by not doing more, but actually by having less. So anyways, that'd be really cool if that came to be. I don't wear glasses, so I don't know if I'd use it, but I can see the benefit of that.
Yeah,
definitely.
I can see that being a thing that...
Yeah. You wouldn't have to look at your watch. Like I can even think about in my work environment, if I was wearing glasses, an important call or an important text comes up. I know about it. I can see it, but it's not causing any weird situation.
Mm-hmm. I could watch Seinfeld at work.
You got to wonder if that's not going to become a thing.
Wow.
I'm just looking at you, just not paying attention to you at all, as if I'm looking right past you.
Wait,
New
don't
Girl
you have to look
corner.
Down though?
It's a little bit down, but like, I don't think it's terribly noticeable. I don't exactly know, but that'd be hilarious.
It'd be funny if it was like you had to look very down and to the right. And so you just like, there's a room of people with glasses and you just all, like they're like somehow getting like a video conference call or something and it's all fed to their glasses. Everybody's just looking super down and they're all like this.
They're you know looking how, super down. They're all very sad.
Yeah.
Like, you know how people make fun of like groups of people or people on a date or something.
And they're texting.
That are just like looking at their phones. Geez, now it's going to be the same, except people are just going to be like... blankly staring off into a corner
slightly
of their
down
glasses.
To the right.
That's a big, that's something that's really annoying when it's like when you're with a friend and you're like both on your phone and someone's like, you guys are 2 feet away from each other.
And you're like, I know, but we're texting each other.
Yeah. Come on.
We played a game called Time Stories this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Time Stories is kind of like as close to a video game as you can get within a board game, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
The base game that you buy is essentially like you can view it as like a game console and you buy separate like scenarios that you kind of plug into that. So this is our fourth. This is our fourth one we've done. Fourth scenario.
Yeah.
I think it's our fourth scenario that we've done. So each one, Expedition Endurance, I think.
Something like that.
So basically how the game works is we are like agents of time. So we go back in time. We get sent back to try and restore what's called the temporal fault. So someone has also figured out how to move around in time, and they're wrecking something that's going to greatly affect like the course of history.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go back, find out what's going on, and make sure that that doesn't happen. Each scenario that we play... comes in its own little box. It's a big deck of cards. And how this works is that deck of cards, we slowly kind of work our way through them, and it laid out in a panorama kind of view shows us like a different room in this world or a different part of this world that we can go explore. Now, exploring each of those different areas takes time. And as we use time, slowly we're running out. And once we run out of time, we have to leave that world and we... essentially lose for that round. So each scenario takes like three or four, is that a fair amount? Three or four runs, so to
usually.
Speak, where we get our full set of time again, we explore three different parts of the world, and then we run out of time and have to start again. So every time you start again, you start from the beginning, but now you have a bit of a better idea which areas you want to go into, what you want to explore, what doesn't matter, what you can like keep, which parts you don't have to just go into at all. And so... yeah, it's like, it's fun because you work together as a team and each one is different. So like once you play through one scenario, you can't play through it again because you've explored the whole world and you know how to stop the temporal fault from happening. But it's a very unique experience because you're just working together as a team with your new characters, trying to figure out what's going on and going to the right rooms. And you don't want to go to that guy because, well, you think you might want to go to that guy and spend all this time and money on him, but he's only going to give you something stupid like a plunger because that happens sometimes. Or you have an option where you can do something, but you lose the game by doing that. So you don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
So it's lots of like hard decisions, and sometimes you make the wrong one and then you like lose that round and you have to like come back and try again. But it's great. It's a really a one of a kind experience.
Yeah. And not to deter people from it, but it's like a more of a guided Dungeons and Dragons kind of feel.
Like yeah, you're it's like kind yeah. of a role playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Because you take on like the identity of a character.
Yeah.
And like each room you go into, which is like five cards that you lay flat, mm-hmm. There's an explanation of what you see in that room.
Right.
As you pick up the cards, there's stuff happening on the back of them that help explain the story. Mm-hmm. It's basically like a big story. And you're just slowly piecing it all together
right.
by going to different rooms in different areas. And
I think I might have asked you when we played this, but are you these people going back in time? Is that every scenario like that? The base is just like you're these people always and you're always going back in time? Or is or do the stories like happen differently? Or is it always like that? I guess it's...
Yeah, the base story is that you're like... this
time
like
agent
time
agent
oh, okay, right. and you get sent back in time, like each story is like you're sent back into early 1900s to this thing
yeah. to this asylum was one yeah. of them and one
or
was
you're
like
sent
in a zombie
back into
place.
The Middle Ages or something like that
mm-hmm.
yeah. yeah
okay
so it's a totally different scenario each time. You're like taking on the characteristics and body of a different person with different skills and abilities right. and things every time and you get to pick what your character is. It's great
and they
it's
have different really like experience. Kind of like abilities, like different totally. More of a higher chance to roll better numbers in certain scenarios.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some are smarter. Yeah. Some are more well-rounded. Mm-hmm. Some are better at fighting. I always pick the guy with better fighting and sucks at everything else. So I don't know why.
It's always good to have that option.
It is nice. yeah.
So in that way, it's maybe kind of like Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
In that
right,
you do have like abilities and stuff.
Yeah.
Like each person has their own specialties, but it's like a much tighter story.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's...
Like you have like... I don't know, two options to do in a room.
Whereas Dungeons and Dragons,
yeah.
in my understanding, it's like you can do pretty much whatever.
Yeah.
I think so. I never actually played it.
But I haven't
either.
Either.
We should...
Maybe try.
Is there the Dungeon Master out there teach us on air how to play Dungeons and Dragons?
Be great.
The whole series.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically a run can go from like an hour and a half to 2 hours, probably.
Yeah, about that.
About that. I think the hardest thing for us is like, it's so hard to stop. Because mm-hmm. after one run, you haven't solved it. So it's like you want to sit down and play a whole nother round. And sometimes we do. We'll play for like 4 hours straight.
Yeah, I can imagine you would want to do that because at least the one that I was watching, it seems like there wouldn't have really been a way to beat it in one round. So like you reach the end and it's like it was expected that you weren't going to beat it because there wasn't really a way to do it. And then you know the next round, I guess you might not know, but you're pretty confident that the next round you can beat it depending on what situation they put you in. Because right. when you lose, you read a card that tells you what to do, like mm-hmm. how to re-enter it. It might put you in a different like time, like a different day.
Right.
Like similar like to the previous, like you might be a few days ahead or I don't know how it is. So then I can see why you would want to keep playing. Cause
you want solution.
See it. It's like watching a series. Like you want to just watch another episode cause you want to see how it ends.
Yeah. That's to me the sign that it's a good game
because totally.
I constantly want I just want to play for more and more and more mm-hmm. So check it out, Time Stories. It comes with the first scenario with the game and you will almost certainly like find yourself buying more scenarios.
Yeah,
one of the coolest aspects is you have to play with the same people because
right.
the other people that are coming in won't have any idea what you've learned and what you've experienced already
mm-hmm.
which just adds a whole nother layer to it, which is really cool. So yeah, Time Stories,
check it out.
Two thumbs up. Because I just decided there's going to be a thumbs up rating system. And there's
two out of three
very
thumbs
few
up.
Options.
Would you rather have no tongue or no teeth?
Can you get dentures?
No.
Tim's always trying to find the workaround. I understand you.
You have to think about the benefits of either. Probably no benefits of either, but
lots
which
of
one
soup.
Has... Lots of soup.
Smoothies. With either.
What?
Oh, yeah, I guess it would be difficult to chew without a tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I know the answer to that.
Well, swallow.
Swallow, right.
I'm going no teeth.
Yeah?
And I'm not going to think about it too much. Cause
I'm going no teeth.
I would have gone, I think no teeth. It seems...
No tongue, you can't do anything.
Right.
Can't even talk. Teeth, you can talk. You can still consume food.
Yeah.
You can chew a little bit with your tongue. Just mush it into the top of your mouth.
I just tried doing that. It would be difficult. You'd probably gain some serious...
Your tongue would be strong.
Yeah. I wonder how strong your tongue can get.
Would you rather time travel to the future or the past? And you can't come back from either one.
You have to stay?
Oh, you're stuck there.
Oh, well, that just...
But it's like, well,
do
obviously...
people come with you? Like, what if you're married and you have, like, a family?
It's just you.
You ditch them all?
You are ditching them.
You are ditching them, you're right.
What?
Yeah.
You're ditching everything that you know.
You're going to a different time.
I don't want to. Then I'm going way into the future.
Way into the future.
So that they're not even a thing. So they don't exist. I don't want to have to see my family living a life without me. The implications of this are huge.
Don't think about the implications. Remember how we overthought the $6 million or whatever the amount it was for 6 inches taken off of your wife's height?
Way forward.
Forward?
Yeah.
I would say forward too. Not thinking about it, forward.
Forward. John?
Yeah, I think forward. Here's one I found on Reddit. Would you rather be the smartest person in the world or the stupidest person in the world, but you have the same intelligence you have now?
Oh, well.
Definitely smartest. What? Why is that?
So, like, if you were as smart as you are now,
you
would be considered the smartest person.
I would be at the forefront.
Yeah, you're staying just as smart as you are now.
But it either makes me the smartest or the dumbest. That's a real... There's some implications there because I have to fix all the things that are broken if I'm the smartest person.
Yeah.
Smartest.
So if I am the dumbest person, then everybody else is smarter than the level I am at right now.
Yeah. There's like 6 billion people smarter than you.
Yeah. Or literally everybody else.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Always choose the best option. Always be the best.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I'll choose smartest.
Yeah, we can be the smartest together.
Well.
I know, it doesn't work that way, but right now it does. Yeah.
So there are people almost as smart as me, though.
Yeah, close, but not quite.
Be close, you could even be. You could be like...
Do they have to know that I'm the smartest person in the world? Because if not, then for sure I'll be the smartest.
I mean, you don't... You wouldn't be like that superior of a being, but you would just be the smartest person.
But I feel like if everybody knew you were like the smartest person in the world, then they would expect you to fix everything. But if you were just like, it's just one of those things where you're not, you don't know, and you've never checked that you are, and like you just happen to be the smartest person, but nobody knows.
You're thinking like, you're the smartest person in the world, but you don't like know it. You just are like,
you just think you're really smart, and everybody thinks you're really smart.
Seems like I'm like smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
The ratings.
Film National Treasure, starring Nick Cage.
Number one.
The first one?
There's two, right?
Yeah, the first one.
I think the first one was better. I think the first one was better.
I'm sure I liked it when it came out and I saw it.
Mm-hmm. About my opinion of it now or my opinion of it when it came out?
Now.
No, what are you rating it right now?
Ah, John.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely more popular to hate on Nicky Cagey.
Nick Flix.
I enjoyed that movie. It was fun. I was young.
Yeah, I haven't seen it like
in
since
years.
Whenever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. But at the time, like a 6, better than average, but not great, but better than average. It was like a little bit of mystery, a little bit of figuring out, a little bit of not knowing.
A little bit of humor.
Yeah, a little bit of humor. A little bit of Nick's golden Nick that
just
he brings.
Him playing Nick. The character he plays in every movie.
Yeah, it's like he's just being Nick.
Yeah. Going by what I remember it being and how much I liked it. I remember everybody loved it then.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably, going by that strictly, I don't know what it would be now. I don't even know if, I don't know. I have no idea. I would probably say an 8. I remember it being good, but we should watch it again and then come back. Re-rate it.
Our list of movies we need to watch together is growing, but yes.
Justin Timberlake's Man of the Woods.
It's impossible for me to rate. I've only heard the one song. I'll say... Based on that one song, the one that they told me to listen to really loud.
Filthy.
Is that what it's called?
Mm.
6?
Wow.
The rest of the album gets not better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. You couldn't have known that.
I have no idea.
It was weird. 2020 was very good. I loved it.
I didn't listen to that either.
It had a whole like brass backing band. It was, and he toured with them. It was great. Really good. Also, some of his older stuff, super groovy, super catchy, super nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Why was it Man of the Woods? That was just so confusing. It didn't have any
It
didn't add, it just made it confusing.
Shoot.
It's just so confusing.
That's
and it just wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And confusing. That's how I would describe it. Not very good and confusing.
Yeah.
Like a 4 maybe, a 3.
Oh wow.
I was also just really disappointed. I was expecting a lot. Like Bahamas, but that killed it. It blew my expectations up.
So true. Still listening to that. Still for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So like I predicted.
Yeah, I'd give it like a 3.5.
Oh, yikes. Filthy was not a bad song, though. I thought it was all right. I didn't think it was anything crazy, but I thought it was better than average.
It was the most all right song.
No.
I don't know.
Is there better songs?
I don't know. I don't think so.
There's a few.
I probably won't listen to it now.
Sorry.
That's all right.
That's fine.
Sorry, JT. Sorry, Jimmy Fallon, because your friend's a JT.
That one was suggested by friend of the pod, Johnny. Any recommendations for the people before we hit the proverbial road?
I love that, proverbial road. Yes, I have a recommendation.
I don't. Go for it.
Maybe you'll think of one while I'm talking.
Sure, I'll try.
I talked last time about Matty Matheson, who I'm a big fan of, but I've been really into his cooking show called either Supper Time or It's Supper Time with Matty Matheson. Hmm. He's like a very, really good, very good. I don't know if he's world renowned or anything. I don't know.
I've heard
but
of
he's
him.
Like, he's a really popular chef.
And he's he actually is.
He's legit. Like, he's spent a bunch of time cooking, a bunch of time abroad. He owns restaurants in Toronto, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Where he's from. And so now he's a cooking show. And it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's very funny.
Nice.
Yeah. Supper Time. Or It's Supper Time.
Sweet. I did come up with one.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to a podcast called Atlanta Monster. It's about, I guess this, I don't remember what time period it was. Was it like 1970s?
Late 70s.
Late 70s.
Yeah.
It's about a serial killer that they believe they've caught, but.
But did they?
It's a bit pretty.
Ooh. Like a.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to listen to
that. It's really like, it's not as dark as some podcasts I've listened to. It's more interesting than anything. It's not presented as super dark. No, exactly. And it has a killer soundtrack.
Ooh.
Very Stranger Things-esque.
Ooh.
Very, I guess, late 70s synth-sounding type stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds really good. Super, super great whenever music comes on, so I'd recommend listening to that. Still going on.
Did you realize you called it a killer soundtrack?
Oh, my goodness. You didn't even notice. Neither did I.
I don't understand that. Like, killers?
Because serial killer.
Ooh, doggy.
I'm going to recommend a pair of XOXO talks for the designers out there. I'll go with Frank Camaro's talk Back to the Cave from 2016. For the normies, Lisa Hannawalt's talk from 2015. I'll put some links in the description.
But, nice.
Yeah, I was revisiting some old XOXO talks because they're all online. And those ones are both good. Frank Camaro's just a good designer who I always appreciate, and Lisa Hannawalt is probably most famous for being the like art director for BoJack Horseman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
Nice.
Check it out. Sick. All right. This has been Whatever Town. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Whatever Town, or maybe some other social networks if you can find us. You can visit us at our website at whatevertown.com. And send us suggestions to whatevertownpod@gmail.com or on the new form we have on our website. You can suggest them right there. This episode was edited by John Duick. Coffee by Whitecap. Website by Collectif. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Google Play, or whatever podcatcher you like. I'm John Duick. You can find me at John Duick on Twitter or elsewhere.
I'm Tim Wall. You can find me on Twitter at Tim Joseph Wall.
Guys, I'm Ryan Kaler, and guess what? I am
back on Twitter.
Woo! What the heck, John? I had a nice big long thing. I know, but I didn't actually give you any time to. I forgive you. John's right. Lucky I'm back on Twitter. You can find me at Ryan Kaler. I'm not great at tweeting, but I'm on there. You can find me. And at Whitecap still.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
This has been Whatever Town. No, you hang up.
Happy Valentine's Day. Joke didn't land because I said it wrong and then said it what I wanted to say wrong.
That's brutal. Especially if you've been like, I'm sure you weren't sitting on that one for a while.
I wasn't. It came right into my mind.
You know when you do, like you have this joke and then you just botch it. It's the worst. I'm already bad at like delivering stuff, but when I think about it, it's like, all right, I gotta get it, and you don't get it.
And you don't get it.